Psalm 98, verses 1 to 9.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
When we had this read to us just before, did your mind start singing in your head? Let me try again. Sing to the Lord a new song. Did you start? Did you go song? And then did you go all the earth? Did you do that? And of course, in your brain, it was perfectly in key, wasn't it? But if you had actually said it out loud, it would have sounded like rusty gates opening. Yeah. It's almost like we are built, we're made to burst into song at any time. Do you ever find yourself humming? Do you ever find yourself whistling a tune? Do you ever find yourself, you're driving in the car, and what do you search for when you're driving in the car? Generally, some music to accompany you. Isn't that interesting? Well, let's have a look today at what got your brain perhaps going just a little moment ago. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song. The call upon the reader is to sing to God. And this is not a new thing. Singing is a deep part of the human condition. Across all cultures of the world, every single one, song is fundamental to the expression of joy and sorrow, of celebration and of mourning. It brings comfort, it proclaims truths, it gives hope, it brings people together. It goes across generations, it goes across time periods. Just think about the Olympics. What happens after every race? And every ball thrown, who wins, whatever, what happens? The national anthem, which is a song that proclaims something about the nation where that person has come from. How about considering this hymn? This might be a good one for you. So I think it's a wonderful example. All creatures of our God and King, who knows that song? Who started singing in your mind already? All creatures of our God and King. Yeah. Well, how does that span? How does it proclaim truth, span generations, etc.? Well, let me give it to you. All creatures of our God and King is based on the words of Psalm 148, written at about 1000 BC. Now, the lyrics to the song as we know them were written as a poem by Francis of Assisi in 1225 AD. They were then translated into English in England and put to music by a gentleman called William Draper in the late 1800s. And then they were put to contemporary music by a group called Sovereign Grace Church's Music Ministry in 2017 in 14 different languages across 6 continents. So what was written as a song in 1000 BC, approximately, has spanned 3,000 years, 14 languages now, 6 continents. It's pretty amazing. And you started singing it in your head. Does the writer of Psalm 98, somewhere 1000 BC, does he do the same for us today? Does he do the same for them back then? Well, what does it say? Sing to the Lord a new song. Well, if we are to sing a new song, then there must be an old song Mustn't there? You don't say, when you first purchased a car, you said, I'm getting a car. But then when you have an old car, you are now getting a new car. Yeah? First time you bought a house, you didn't say, I'm buying a new house. You said, I'm getting a house. But then when you are getting a new house, do you get the idea? Yeah. Well, is there an old song to consider here? And I think there is. And I think the clues are in the first few verses of our psalm. So have a look with me. Firstly, as a psalm, before we dig too close, it is contained in the Old Testament. And so this is a song, when it was written, that was pretty much exclusive for Israel and those coming to Israel to worship the God of Israel. And so we must look to Israel's history. There's the clue, there's our first clue, to the first song. So verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. What has God done that Israel should marvel at, that they should be in awe of, that they should wonder at? You might have some thoughts going through your brain right now. You might say creation. You might say, I don't know. Well, continuing on in verse 1, what does the psalmist then say? His right hand and his holy arm. What are these? These are battle words. These are war descriptions. You don't come home generally in the afternoon and say to your children or your spouse or your parent, you don't say, yes, my right hand and my holy arm worked hard today. It's generally not what you say, right? These are war descriptions. So, what has God done that involves war? Continuing on, has worked salvation for him. When did God bring salvation to Israel? When did God go to war and bring salvation that Israel would marvel and wonder at? When did Israel first sing? Exodus 15 is when they did. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Did you start singing in your head once more? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has... Who's with me on that one? Yeah, there's some nods. Good. You can come up if you like. Do like a microphone, start singing for everyone. Okay. What was the old song? It was the song of the Exodus, when God made himself known, the God who saves. A jubilant declaration of what God's right hand and his holy arm had done. But if I was to continue reading that song of Exodus 15, it goes on to say that the nations will hear and tremble and be gripped with anguish and terror and dread about this God. That is the old song. The God who saves. Joy for Israel, terror for the world. Well, let's go back to Psalm 98, verse 2. The psalmist tells us that the Lord has made known and revealed salvation and righteousness to the nations. But this is not described in any way in fear and terror. But as verse 3 says, because the Lord has remembered his love and faithfulness. Now, I'm hoping that when I just said that, love and faithfulness, when you read those words, love and faithfulness, there's a little alarm clock going off in your brain. Where have I heard those two words together before? Love and faithfulness, love and faithfulness. Where have I read those words before? Well, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. The chesed of God, it's called. I want us to try that this morning. Are you ready? Get it? Get it ready? The chesed of God. Go. Or you could read it in English and say, it's the cheesed of God, C-H-E-S-E-D. The chesed of God. It's described to the people of Israel after the Exodus. It's actually how God describes himself to Moses when Moses is going, oh, my goodness, Lord, these people are nut jobs. And then that description by the Lord of himself is an overwhelming characterization of him. And it is repeated through Scripture again and again and again. The Lord is the God of grace. He's the God who gives undeserved favor and love, even to a people bowing down to a golden calf. He has made known and revealed salvation and righteousness to the nations because he is the God of grace, because of love and faithfulness, because he is the chesed of God. And so verse 3, not only Israel, but all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. How, I hear you ask, how has all the earth seen the salvation of our God? Could it be that the psalm is not only drawing from the past, from Exodus, but it is also pushing forward to a time that has not yet come for the people of Israel in 1000 BC. But for us today, it has come. 1000 years after this psalm was written, there was an elderly man worshipping at the temple in Jerusalem, and he got the most precious opportunity to hold a little 8-day-old baby in his arms. And as he did, he praised God with these words, "Sovereign God, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people." The baby's name was Jesus. And today, 2,000 years, 2,023 years since that event, does not all the earth see the same every year as Christmas is celebrated? The God of the old song is also the God of the new song, the God who saves, the God of grace, of love and faithfulness, the God who desires not just Israel, but all people, even to the very ends of the earth, as Jesus puts it. Because the baby became a man, that 8-day-old baby became a man, and because that man went to the cross, and because that man died in my place and in your place. Because the man said, "For God so loved the world, all the peoples, that he has given his one and only Son." And so the psalmist continues, not just for Israel's sake, but for all the earth. Verse 4, you and I are now included in the invitation to sing. I love that here he doesn't actually use the word sing so much as shout. That's good because a shout is allowed to be croaky. It's allowed to be off-key, too loud, out of time, and everything in between, which sounds exactly like me just trying to sing. What about you? Men, do you ever find yourselves like trying to go too high and then you have to go, well, I've got to drop it. Do you find that in the middle of a song? You're like, needed warning about that. Should be a sign on the screen. Yeah. And what is the shout? The shout is not a shout of terror or anguish or dismay, but a shout of joy. We are called to burst into song, jubilant, joyful song, with music made even with drums and electric guitars, with harps, with singing choirs and croaky peasants, with trumpets and horns and whatever else you can find. Did you know that you can even make a joyful noise to the Lord with a recorder? I'm questionable on that one. I think it was built by the Antichrist, that thing, right? Yeah. If you want to terrorize grandparents, if you want to terrorize your children, give your grandchildren a recorder. Bash some pots together. How many little kids get into a cupboard of pots and pans and start belting them? What an awesome noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Shout for joy, he pleads again. Shout with joy before the God of grace, who has made known his salvation. He has revealed the King. The most popular Christmas carol of all time. Let's survey the room. The most popular Christmas carol of all time is... Joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And here the psalmist then points us further forward. Not only is this new song for all the people of the earth, but also for the creation itself. What does it say? Verse 7. Let the sea resound. And that word resound literally means what it says, resound, echo. Let the sea echo your shout for joy. The sea will echo your joy, your new song in praise of the Lord. That song will travel around the world, echoing from the hills and the valleys, the lakes and the seas, of clouds and storms and ice and snow and hail. A song that all the fish and the octopuses, the octopi, and the sharks and the bears and the tigers, the prawns, will echo. All creatures of our God and King. A song that the rivers will clap their hands along to. I don't know about you, I'm a bit skeptical that rivers actually have hands. Don't know about you, I've never seen hands on a river. But perhaps there are hands secretly and one day they will clap. I don't know, but I'm going to take it as poetry. The sea, the rivers will clap their hands in joyful song. The mountains will even join in with. Mountains will sing. Maybe they will howl as the winds rip through. A song that all the earth will sing. How does the Christmas carol go? And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Go for it. And yeah, okay, you got it. When will this happen? Verse 9, when he comes to judge the earth. When the Lord comes and will make everything new. When the King of grace will bring about his kingdom, his new creation, the very hope of all who trust in God. And the words of Jesus in Revelation might be fulfilled. Not might be, will be fulfilled. I am making everything new. Perhaps then the rivers will clap. That resolute hope that he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. This is our song. Because the truth of verse 2 stands. Salvation has been made known. Righteousness is revealed. My eyes and your eyes and old man Simeon's eyes have seen. His name is Jesus. And so for me, as I contemplate this psalm, what is my response to it? My response is I will not fear. Regardless of what the world is doing, I will not fear. I will not be gripped by anguish, and I will not give hate or terror or dread a foothold. No, my choice is my song is one of jubilant joy. Regardless of how sinful I am, my salvation is secure because Christ is King. Everything else is static. So what about you? How do you respond to Psalm 98? As the worldly adage goes, the world is your oyster. The year is still fresh. The plans of tomorrow are not yet today. Well, I want to encourage you to grab hold of the challenge of the psalmist that spans 3,000 years and a lot of translations. Sing to the Lord a new song, my brothers and sisters, for he has done marvelous things. Let me pray for you. Our good God and Father, Yahweh, Lord Almighty, we do in fact come to you with hearts filled with joy, for you sent Jesus. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for righteousness revealed. Lord God, I ask that you would press upon our hearts and our minds the wonders of your love, the amazing awesomeness of your majesty, and how you call us to jubilant song in response to you. Father, we ask for your Spirit to help us to do that, to bring us joy in darkness, to bring us joy in sorrow, to bring us joy in fear, that we might be the people of the King with a song of gladness and excitement for what you have for us, we pray. Amen.